The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
In addition to taking care of one another inside the church, what if we developed a lifestyle of taking care of the most needy outside the walls of the church? How would that change the community and our city? Bob Moffitt, president and founder of Harvest Foundation in Phoenix, along with Pastor Julian Gibb, talk with pastors and leaders about how sacrificial love by those in the church to those in need outside the church has helped people see and embrace Jesus Christ. It's that demonstration of Jesus' greatest commandment that we'll hear more about today on The Kingdom and Its Stories.
Welcome, everybody. We're so delighted to have you on the podcast today of The Kingdom and Its Stories. Some of you are listening, some of you are watching. Whatever you're doing and wherever you are, we want to welcome you to our program today. Today, we have the privilege of having a brother whose name is Paul Covert, who's going to be talking to us about prayer and how that relates to being Jesus' hands and feet. So, Paul, welcome. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, Bob.
Well, Paul, since the folks who are on the podcast today, listening to it, watching it, don't know who you are, give us the elevator speech. Tell us, who is Paul Covert?
Okay. I've been in the ministry 45 years. I planted a church in Phoenix. Then I was a prayer pastor in a couple of the churches here in town. And now I'm the corporate chaplain, believe it or not, at a company called Aquitas that has 150 stores around the world, and I care for their people. And I founded a ministry along the way called Threshold Prayer Ministry. Prayer is my passion, and Threshold Prayer Ministry does consulting with churches who want to get better at prayer. They realize they need some help. We do conferences for individuals to help them grow in the area of prayer and prayer leadership. And so that's a little bit about who I am.
Okay. So tell us, how did you meet Christ? You know, what's your journey been like?
Yeah. I became a Christian when I was 10 years old. So I've been a Christian 56 years. At 10 years old, I felt the call to follow Jesus and accepted him. And most people want to be firemen or doctors or something. I always wanted to be a pastor. And so just amazing how it all just kind of came together. So, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Good. So let me ask you an obvious question, which the answer I don't think is so obvious. But the question is, you know, isn't prayer, you know, and its place in a Christian's life so obvious? Why do we, you know, why would somebody need training in prayer? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's so clear in Scripture. So what's the big deal?
Yeah, great question, Bob. I find that people who've grown up in the church, maybe their parents were Christians and they sat down with them as kids and said, let's say your prayers. Those people are comfortable with prayer. But we're in a post-Christian society now, and there are a lot of people who didn't have parents who taught them how to pray. And so what I find is that women are more comfortable with prayer than men because they're more nurturing and more connected in lots of ways. Men struggle with being vulnerable. They struggle with sharing what's on their hearts. Mm. And if they've not grown up with prayer, it can be really challenging for them. And I love helping men to pray because if you teach a man to pray, you change the legacy of a home.
Yeah. Not just the home.
Yeah.
But all of life.
Yeah.
So what, Paul, you know, what are the basics? I mean, let's say guys are not, not familiar with or comfortable with prayer. So what would be the basic outline of how you help people learn to pray, men especially?
It'll take a little bit of time to develop that, Bob. Most people don't pray because they haven't seen it done well, and so they don't have a model to look at. And they don't have any inspiration, really, for prayer. I mean, there's very few people out there saying, hey, let me tell you the story about prayer. And so because people aren't inspired, people aren't telling them the stories, it's just really hard. So what we try to do is inspire people to recognize that prayer works. And I'll tell you the story as fast as I can. It takes a minute, but
okay.
When I went to Bible college, when I graduated, my professors were always telling me, hey, you need to pray. But I was working three jobs, so there wasn't a lot of time for structured or strategic prayer. So when I graduated from Bible college, I determined I was going to find out if prayer worked. So I did an experiment. And for 30 days, I didn't pray about anything. And for 30 days, I prayed about everything. Let me back up just a second and say, I'm a very skeptical person. And so just because somebody said you needed to pray, that didn't mean that I needed to pray. I had to experiment with this. And so to give you an idea just how skeptical I am, when I was 5 years old, I noticed that, and I'll camouflage this a little bit, but I noticed that at a winter holiday, my mom would always go buy certain things. And then I noticed we'd have a visitor at that same winter holiday, and he would always bring the same things my mom bought. So I remember I'm 5 years old and I started thinking, I wonder if this guy's bringing his own stuff or if he's using ours. And so the night before this big day, I marked all of the, we would get fancy oranges, the navel oranges. I marked them all with a pen so that I could tell if it was his stuff or ours.
At 5 years of age, you did this?
5 years in. So that gives
amazing.
You how skeptical I am. And because I'm skeptical, I didn't just jump into prayer. I had to experiment with it.
Okay.
And so, as I said, for 30 days, I didn't pray. For 30 days, I prayed about everything. And at the end of that 30 days, we had our first youth event. And to set that up really quickly, one of the gals that the guy that was a youth pastor ahead of me, he didn't leave. He became the associate pastor. And a couple of the kids came up to me soon after I got to the church and said, you're not our youth pastor. You'll never be our youth pastor. So-and-so is our youth pastor. So it was a rough crowd. And so,
I guess.
So in our first event, I remember it had been prayed about for 30 days, and we were watching a movie, and my wife made some popcorn and some cookies and that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, around the room, one of the girls said, hey, can we stop the movie for a minute? And then she began to say, my mom and dad are talking about getting divorced, and I'm scared. And then just around the room, you know, the 20 kids that were there, another kid said, my dad started drinking again, and I'm afraid. And what happened was there was just this holy moment that came about. And you'll never convince me that it wasn't because it had been backed by prayer. So, Bob, what that did then is once I began to realize the power of prayer through experimentation, I started recording my prayers. And I've been recording my prayers now for 45, 50 years, you know, actually writing them down, looking, waiting for God to answer. And I've got literally thousands and thousands of answered prayers that nobody knows anything about except for me and God. And when you share those kinds of stories and you help men realize that God can work with them and for them and orchestrate their lives, and they catch that vision, all of a sudden they get interested in prayer. So I know that was a long story, but there you go.
No, that's not a long story at all. That's fascinating. You used a term a few minute ago or so that I'd like you to unpack.
Okay.
And the term was strategic.
Yeah.
We talked about strategic prayer. What is strategic prayer?
Great question, Bob. Yeah. A lot of people just kind of start talking and they don't really think about what they want to ask God. And again, they're not recording their prayers. I maintain that we record things that are important to us. If I were to ask you, Bob, what's your wife's birthday? You would know that. If I were to ask you what's in your bank account, you would know that. And yet with prayer, we have no idea what we've asked God. And that's why recording prayers is so important. And so teaching people to pray specifically, and not just for themselves, but for the nations. We have a tendency to pray just for ourselves. And so teaching them to pray for the nations, teaching them to pray for causes. One of the things I've learned is that women pray, you know, if you ever go to a prayer meeting, women will pray often nurturing kinds of prayers because that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
men are warriors. And so when you go to a prayer meeting and it's designed just about nurturing, a lot of times men check out because they want to take some ground. That's where strategic prayer comes in. We need to plan our prayer meetings so that we have some nurturing and we have some taking some ground for the kingdom. And that's where strategic prayer comes in. We need to think about our praying before we pray, record our prayers, and then we can see God's orchestration in our lives, and it increases our faith. Nothing has increased my faith more than recording my prayers all these years. You would never be able to tell me that God's not there, because I've seen thousands and thousands of answered prayers. Mm.
It's kind of like, you know, we don't see the obvious unless we intentionally notice it. And I have a lot to learn, you know, in this area. I don't record my prayers, but I think I'm very inclined to start doing that.
Well, praise the Lord. I've never known somebody who started who was sorry they did.
Yeah.
It's just such an amazing thing to be strategic. You know, I can't describe the orchestration in my life as I watch God. And I have prayers, you know, some of the prayers I pray just like everybody else, they get answered quickly, you know, a couple of days. And we prayed for my mother-in-law for 45 years. And she finally became a Christian about 6 months before she died. So, you know, but I have all this record of prayer to keep me going because I've seen God work along the way.
Wow. It's, I'm thinking 45 years.
Yep.
That's a long time. Sometimes we expect to pray and see the answer tomorrow or today.
That's a great thought we should talk about just briefly, Bob. One of the problems that people have with prayer is that when we say a prayer, we get the picture of what that answered prayer is going to look like.
Yes.
And so, for example, let's say that I need transportation. You know, my car is down. I don't have a car anymore. I need transportation. So I pray, God, and I'm a guy, so I pray, God, how about a Corvette, you know? And I get a bus pass. And so I say, God didn't answer my prayer because it didn't look like what I prayed about. And that happens so often that people begin to say, well, prayer works for Bob, or it works for somebody else, but it doesn't work for me because of our expectations.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Tell us some stories, Paul, you know, that illustrate how you've already told some, but help us, you know, with some illustrations of people you've trained and what you've seen as a consequence.
Yeah. I'll start with this one. One of the things I have done through the years is take people on prayer trips around the world. So
do you mean literally or?
Yes. Yeah.
Explain.
Yeah, I believe you can pray best for missionaries when you've actually seen what they're going through.
Okay.
So I would take a team of 10, 12 people, for example, someplace around the world every year. So I've done it lots and lots. One of the places I went was Mauritania, and Mauritania is in Africa. It's some of the hardest dirt for the gospel anywhere in the world. So we made this connection with this missionary group in Mauritania, and we said, we'd love to come and pray for your work. And they said, oh, please do. And what I didn't know before I went was these guys have been at it 3 years and hadn't accomplished, there wasn't a single convert in 3 years. And the missionaries were incredibly discouraged. They were like, let's just quit and go home. And somebody in their team said, let's take a year and pray. And so for a full year, they stopped doing missionary work. And all they did was pray about their work and all of their supporters and so on. They called in this massive prayer time. For Mauritania. This is all unbeknownst to me. When we showed up, it was right at the end of this time, this year of prayer.
This year of prayer, yeah.
So we prayed for them, prayed for the work. And while I was there, along with the team, we saw 7 Muslim men give their hearts to Christ. The first this group, missionary group, had the entire time they had been there. And you know, it was just an amazing prayer-backed ministry is incredibly effective. You know, the battle belongs to the Lord. We have a tendency to want to fight it ourselves, but learning to let God do it and back what we do in prayer is just huge. The other
Go ahead.
I was going to say one more story too is one of the things I found is that many men really want to pray, but they've never had anybody coach them. They've never had anybody kind of lead them along the way. And so what I would do when I was in a local church is I would find a guy that I make friends with. And then after I made friends with him, I'd say, hey, why don't you, are you interested in prayer? And yeah, but I'm not very good at it. And one of the things that I did in these churches I worked at is that we prayed in the prayer room every hour of the service, did service intercession. So I'd invite these guys to come and just listen, just watch. And it wouldn't be, two or three weeks, and all of a sudden the lights would begin to come on. And now you'd have guys who were mechanics and guys who worked on generators for a living and guys who were carpenters and, all different kinds of people were catching this vision of what it could look like if they would pray. And so it was really powerful stuff.
Well, yeah. Let me take this opportunity just to let those who've tuned in late to know that they're listening to The Kingdom and Its Stories. And in this podcast, we interview people who, not that we are lifting up and praising, but people who are an example, only one example of what it means when we commit our life to allowing Jesus to come in and be our hands and feet, and in this case, our mind and our mouth, to be able to pray. And Paul Covert is our guest today, and Paul, it's a delight to have you with us. And so, I want to just before as we move on to talk about. One of the practices that I think has been valuable for me and my family and my grandkids, we modeled in our home, daily prayer. And I do that with my grandsons now. We have five grandsons, and we meet once a week by Zoom because we're all over the country. And they're from 15 years of age to close to 30. Mm-hmm. And as we bring each other up to date, we always pray for each other. And so not only do they have the modeling of me praying for them, they get the experience to be able to pray for each other. And I really agree with you modeling that. If you've never prayed or never heard anybody pray, how do you know how to begin? Yeah. And so I think, what you said about modeling it in your home, and you don't have to limit it to your home. I mean, who are you in regular contact with? Right. I can remember one of my next door neighbors. He's a retired anesthesiologist who's really got some physical problems. And bringing him back from the doctor one day, we'd been talking. And as he got out of the car, I said, Doug, could I pray for you? And he'd grown up as a Catholic all his life. Mm-hmm. And when I finished praying, he was crying.
Yeah.
And he said, Bob, no one ever in my life, and he's in his 50s, except maybe my mom when I was a little boy, has ever prayed for me.
Yeah.
And here's a guy that grew up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, the liturgy is full of prayer.
Yeah.
But it so touched him deeply that someone would personalize it for him. And so I really just want to affirm what you've been talking about modeling. Tell us another story.
Okay. Another thing I think that really inspires people is when you talk about answered prayer, as you know, stories are gold when it comes to transferring information.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to talk about one of my favorite answers to prayer. And so when I was a youth pastor years ago, I came up with this crazy idea that we would do a 400-foot hot dog.
A what?
A 400 foot hot dog. I know it's crazy. We had a gymnasium, and one of the guys in the church had worked for a roofing company, so we had guttering.
Okay.
I ran into this guy who, you know, you can cut off hot dogs at 6 inches or 8 inches or 400 feet. And so I talked him into making us a 400 foot hot dog. But Bob, I was so young. I was in my early 20s, you know, just trying to figure out how to do ministry. And so I got his agreement to do it, but I didn't know his name. I mean, I knew his first name. I didn't know his last name, and I didn't have any number. And so this was a small town in the Midwest, and the TV station heard about it, and they wanted to come and take some pictures. And the newspapers came and did a quick interview, that kind of thing. And it dawned on me, this is Monday. This is going to happen on Wednesday. That the TV station's coming, the newspapers are there, but I don't know this guy's last name. How am I going to find him? He lives in a major city in the Midwest. I have no way of getting a hold of him. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I remember I was going to have a meeting with one of the other youth pastors in this city. And I prayed from where I was to that place. And it was 90 miles. So I prayed for at least 90 minutes. I probably sped a little bit. So maybe 89 minutes.
Yeah.
I prayed the whole way. And when I got there, the secretary said, go on in. He's on the phone. The guy's going to meet, but it's no big deal. You can just sit down and he'll be done in a minute. Well, as he's talking, it dawns on me. He's talking to the guy I need to talk to get this 400-foot hot dog.
No kidding.
Now, the city that we're talking about is, you know, 500,000 people. And so what's the chances that that guy would be on the phone to my friend who I have a meeting with?
Pretty small.
Just at the exact time. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so those are the kind of stories that people can grab a hold of and go, you know, that could happen for me too, if I just really seek the Lord. And so I'm nobody special, Bob. I'm so glad you talked about this is about the kingdom. It's not about me. I'm nobody special. I struggle just like everybody else does. I'm broken just like everybody else is. But prayer has sustained me all these years. And I love to help people gain the power and the privilege of really having a great connection with God.
So how do you do that? What are the mechanics of this ministry?
Yeah. Well, I do it at these conferences that we talk about, where I will teach a subject on like how to pray for your lost loved ones. And then we'll stop right after that and we'll pray for lost loved ones. And so you get this whole house of people who are praying right then. Or how do you pray for your kids? What should you pray? What kinds of things need to be covered? And then we'll make some lists and we'll pray right there. So we teach and then practice. We teach and then practice. We teach and practice. And again, prayer in my mind is caught. It's not taught. I mean, you can set some parameters, but see.
Say that again. It's what?
It's caught. It's not taught. It's modeled.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah. So when you do that kind of thing, people begin to catch that prayer could work for them, and it just becomes really, really powerful.
Well, can you tell us a story of someone who you have helped to catch?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this idea of prayer and what happened in their life?
Yeah. So one of the guys, I went on a trip again to the Dominican Republic, and I always look for, you know, someone I can influence, you know. And so I sat next to this guy who was a contractor, and he was rough and gruff and, you know, never prayed, you know, that kind of thing. And I just made friends with him. Then I started going to lunch with him, just making connections. Then I invited him to join me in the prayer room, and he said yes. And then he started coming more often. And now he leads the prayer ministry on one of the campuses of that church that I work at.
Wow.
I did the same thing with a realtor, exactly the same process, made friends, went to lunch a few times. That guy now leads the entire prayer ministry on a separate campus and doing some of the same things I did, you know, schools of prayer and so on and so forth. So that's how you do it. You make friends and then
people. Paul, you have 30 seconds.
Okay.
What would you say to those who are listening to encourage them to move in this direction? 30 seconds.
I'm incredibly convicted that recording your prayers is essential for greater faith. So I would encourage people to make a prayer list and to do it for 30 days and just test and see what happens. And I think people will be astounded. It'll also give them a chance to say thank you. We forget sometimes what we've prayed for and we don't say thanks.
Amen. Paul Covert, thank you so much for being with us today. May God bless you, and may he help those of us who have listened to your testimony today to understand better how we can use prayer, not in the sense of using it, but employing it in being better hands and feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you, Paul. Thank you.
It's an honor.
Jesus defines discipleship as come and follow me. Next Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Faith Talk 1360, we'll hear another testimonial from a leader demonstrating how they and the people of the church are sacrificially loving the needy and beginning to see real change in their communities. If you have a personal example of how you are being the hands and feet of Jesus with your neighbors, we'd love to hear from you. Enter your story at harvestfoundation.org. That's harvestfoundation.org on the Contact Us tab. You can also subscribe to the podcast on The Kingdom and Its Stories on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.